young people around the world want to see change. Join your co-hosts, William, Anastasia, and George, as they speak to young leaders from around the world on their stories, their struggles, and most importantly, their incredible impact. In season two of this podcast, be ready to get inspired. This is where action begins, and this is the Young Changemakers podcast. What comes to your mind when you hear the word adoption? Maybe thoughts around difficult circumstances, separation, or maybe even celebrities like Angelina Jolie. Have you ever thought about the international adoption policies that exist and the very real identity challenges adoptees face in various spaces? Hi, I'm Anastasia, and thank you for joining us for this podcast episode. Today, we'll be deep diving into the topic of adoption and what this means to Alex. Alex is an ambassador and trustee of the non-for-profit organization I'm Adopted since its founding in 2015. He was adopted from a Romanian orphanage in 1997 by a German family. They then all moved to New Zealand in 2006. He was named as a finalist for the Young New Zealander of the Year Award and a Global Changemaker Fellow. Personally, I've only met about one or two adopted people in my life, so this conversation was really eye-opening for me as I didn't realize all the policies and personal challenges faced around adoption. There's a long way to go in improving international adoption. And Alex is doing great stuff to make change. Sit back, relax, and let's get into the podcast. Hello, Alex. Welcome to the Young Changemakers podcast. How are you today?
I'm good this morning. And how are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Good. Thank you. It is a little bit early for us both. We're cracking on. Where are you tuning in from for our sesh today?
I'm tuning in from Auckland, the city of sails.
Sails, love it. I have been to Auckland about two or three times, and I did really enjoy it. I think you definitely notice all of the boats like on the harbour when you arrive over that bridge.
Nice. What else did you enjoy about Auckland?
I went to Devonport. I don't know if you have been to Devonport, but yeah, it was, it's like about half an hour from the city. I really enjoyed Devonport because that was like it felt like a nice little homely town. And it was very cute.
Yeah. It's a very homely town. Did you just jump onto a ferry and go there?
Yeah. I did. I actually went by car. So one of my friends lives in Auckland. So then they took me to that area. But yeah, they were saying, oh, you could jump on the ferry and then go from there. But maybe one day I'll have to catch the ferry there then, if that seems to be the way to get there.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. One thing that normally we usually do as we start off an interview with one of our interviewees, it's really just to understand a little bit more on what keeps you motivated. So maybe if you could share a quote with our listeners on some of the words that keeps you going in those times of like difficulty, something that inspires you.
So backtracking to yesterday, so I did a lot of reading during lockdown, and a really good quote by a guy called Viktor Frankl was from A Man's Search of Meaning is, when we are no longer able to change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves.
Wow, that does sound quite profound. Maybe could you be able to talk a little bit more about, like, I'm thinking from there, you've been reflecting a lot in lockdown, and it's really about like finding the good in lockdown of being like, unfortunately, having to be locked in, but still finding that opportunity for growth. Is that right, Alex?
Yeah, that's right.
Nice. Awesome. No, that sounds good. Now, thank you so much for sharing that a little bit with everyone. Let's get into a little bit more on, you know, a little bit more about yourself, and tell maybe our listeners a little bit more about your story. So you were adopted. Would you be able to tell us a little bit more about what that experience was like?
Yeah, sure. So quick bit background is actually one of the first questions I generally get if people see me, says, where are you from? And then my short sentence is, adopted from Romania to Germany and then moved 14 years ago to New Zealand. So I've got two two citizenships, German and Kiwi, but then three ethnicities, Romanian, German, and Kiwi. So I'm a bit of a hybrid.
Wow, that's quite cool. So a lot of different identities I can hear, then a lot of those like really interlinking with each other.
Exactly.
Wow, that's quite cool. And so you had moved from Auckland to Auckland from Germany how long ago?
That was 14 years ago.
14 years ago, wow. And what was that experience like being adopted? Like, do you remember what it was like being adopted from like that German family? Or, yeah, what was that like?
I mean, it's been more like natural for me because I was always told from a young age that I was adopted, so it was just natural. Like when I was about 3 years old, I remember going through photo albums being told that I was adopted, so it was never, you know, strange for me.
Nice. So that's quite cool. I did have a look that you had done a lot of work with the I'm Adopted initiative and done some research in like international adoption. From both that research that you've done as well as your own experience, what are some of those common challenges that you've seen adoptees face around the globe?
I think you can, you know, like divide the challenges into two spaces. One is kind of like policy perspective. So, you know, like policies that impact adopted people, and then more personal challenges. And then so in terms of policy, over the years, there's been about a decline in adoption, about 8 to 10% over the last decade. The decline has been 10% globally. And that's due to, you know, countries, you know, putting out a hold in adoption, or the situation has become a bit better under control. And also there's been a political change in the attitudes towards adoption. So that's a global policy thing. And then in terms of personal assets, I guess, you know, it's some adoptees that weren't always told at the beginning they can struggle with identity if they find out later on in life. And I think just, you know, sometimes people say identity in general can be challenging for them.
Mm.
Especially when they go through the teenage years.
Yeah, definitely. Completely resonate with that, and completely can find some commonalities as well in terms of like that identity struggle and that kind of thing. Maybe we'll get started just on the policy side of things. Just earlier you mentioned something about like 10% decline. What has kind of contributed to that?
I think some key factors is from my research that I've done and from the other experts that it's saying that one is attitudes towards adoptions have changed by country. So and not that, you know, it's kind of like basically not a good political look if they have to, you know, allow adoptions out of their own country, because it gives them the look that they can't, you know, take care of their own children, basically being blunt.
Wow. Yeah. So it's really about like making sure those parents accountable if they can adopt a child, and making sure that child is actually really taken care of.
I think it's not that what I'm saying more is that, what I'm trying to say is, if a country, let's choose country X, you know, So the issue there, the challenge there is that if that country X, you know, gets an adoption from country A, you know, allow adoption, you know, parents from country A, that makes then country X look like they're not capable of taking care of their own children. Even though if country X had some, you know, history that forced, you know, that it forced to have someone without its, you know, control or what happened in the past. So a practical example is I was adopted from Romania, and they had adoption because they had, you know, because of their, you know, the communism there. So that's kind of the reason, you know, why. But yeah, it's some countries kind of got a bit sensitive over the years on that. And sometimes it's also very political. So I'll give another example. Was in between Russia and the US in about 2010 or something, there was some political tensions between Russia and the US, and then Russia, as a result of that, you know, used certain excuses, because there were also some adoption that went not so great between Russia and the US, as an excuse to just put a ban on adoption from Russia to the US. So sometimes it can also be used as kind of, you know, a political tool in some sense.
I didn't know that it could be used in that way. in preparation for this chat with you, I was talking with some of my friends, and one of my best friends was really keen on adopting. But she had said in Australia, there's only about 10 countries that you can adopt from, and any countries outside of that, you can't adopt from. So I guess that speaks towards what you were just saying now, that certain countries have certain alliances rather than others. Are there any other reasons why that you know of, like why certain countries are restricted from other countries from adopting and that kind of thing?
Well, another reason is just in terms of international policy setups. An example is that for certain countries for adoption to happen, they need to sign up to certain treaties. So it's called the Adoption Hague Convention. And if, let's say, take New Zealand, for example, they're a signatory of that treaty. If they want to adopt from a country that's a non-treaty member, you know, that hasn't ratified the treaty and they don't want to set up any formal agreement in a way, it can stop that from happening. So it's, yeah, basically not having the relationship with the country to adopt from. Another example of that is Russia. Russia, yeah, New Zealand, they've stopped also adoption because New Zealand did some law change around family law around 2009 as well, 10, and Russia, as a result of that, stopped that, then the adoption to New Zealand. Like New Zealand changed their family law on marriage, on to introduce same-sex marriage, and Russia didn't, basically didn't fit into their values and things.
Okay. So there's a lot of different, like there are a lot of factors that come into play when countries are thinking about.
Yeah, basically factors like culturally, social factors and, you know, political as well.
Wow. That's really interesting. I had no idea like at all that there were these different laws internationally in place. You're part of the initiative I'm Adopted. Could you tell us a little bit more about that and some of the work that your team are doing in whether it is overcoming these policies or more on a grassroots level?
Yes, I'm Adopted is basically a global community helping adoptees connect, but also, you know, a component of that is for people to find their birth families. And I guess the part that I'm more involved in is the policy side of things. So it's kind of like advocating or doing research. So we presented research at a global conference in 2018 as a team in Montreal. And we worked with a researcher in New Zealand, a psychologist, where we just looked at our stories to do some research on things. So the other team members, our founder, is doing some work with the Russian government and trying to make things a bit better there and maybe eventually get adoptions to reopen to New Zealand. And also on my part is also with Romania as well. And a couple of years ago, I actually got invited to speak at the Romanian embassy in Canberra on their National Day on Adoption Policy.
Wow, that is very cool. So even like being able to go, I love that you've been able to go back to that, you know, your birth country and really be able to even connect with that part of yourself. And it sounds like the I'm Adopted initiative really helps you with connecting with other adoptees, but also really advocate and research more on a macro level about how, you know, there can be changes made like on a global level overall for other adoptees around the world. So that sounds really cool and amazing, Alex.
And the other challenges that do come up is, and they even unfortunately happen in Australia, is of challenges of citizenship or naturalization. So when a child gets adopted to the country, if the child isn't made a citizenship like by the adoptive parents, that later on they can actually be deported from the country, even if they've lived there all their childhood. And in the US as well.
Wow. I did not know that. That is crazy. So even after living there for so long, like they could still be deported.
If they haven't done the proper paperwork, yes. And then like in the US, I mean, I don't know the process because I don't live there, but I've heard stories which basically means you have to go through a proper process and people that do that generally end up hiring like an immigration equivalent kind of lawyer that deals with that. Because in the US, you can only become generally a natural citizen, you know. It's actually one of the few countries in the West where you actually become citizen by birth. Wow. But if you're not adopted, that doesn't happen there. You don't become naturally a citizen.
Wow. Okay. That's really, yeah, definitely something for a lot of people to consider. Potentially there could be people listening on this as well who are maybe thinking about adoption. I think there's a lot of people, you know, think about like the future of this world and kind of where it's going. maybe that's like an option for them if they want to have, like, rather than have children's by you know, on their own, like actually adopting could be something to think about.
I think also some in regards to that topic, you've raised another question is actually, you know, I guess a question we can ask, what's the future of adoption? And I think in terms of policy is, I think, given unfortunate, you know, the global conflicts, I'm just thinking of Syria, Yemen, and the whole Middle East, but other places that, and even climate change, there will be, you know, I mean, I'm not a, you know, like, I can't predict the future, but from what I'm seeing, the, if things happen the way they do, there will be an increase again. And I think if we look at the past, we saw that same increase when the Soviet bloc broke off, you know, and then in the late 1990s, you know, we had Romania, we had then other countries, you know. So I think something like that is going to happen, is very likely to happen again in the coming future.
Wow. Okay. And then from, like, with that happening, there needs to be that policy change so that there's more freedom for people to be able to adopt. Is that right?
Yeah. So that would then need to happen. And I guess though also what's more important, not only the policy change, that actually adoptive parents actually get the proper resources to support them when adoption happens, because there was lots of examples in, you know, the in other countries, especially the US, but also New Zealand and Australia and Germany, when 1990s, when the Soviet bloc broke off, and especially with Romania, that adoption was happening on the masses, but people weren't always fully aware what they were getting themselves into, because it is a big transition for a family.
Yeah.
And also you were mentioning that your friend is, can you just give me a second? I have to just let the cat. Oh, cat, he's pretty loud. Sorry, gotta let him out.
No worries. I love cats. So that's completely, I love like the, just the cat interrupts our podcast episode. That's completely fine.
Give me a second. I have to let out the cat because we've got three cats.
Oh, that's so cute. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll do our mid audio break here.
No, you can leave it in. It will be quite funny, actually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely leaving
it. It's like the equivalent of in the BBC videos where, you know, where the kid comes running into the interview. Yeah.
Exactly.
Hi there. We hope you're enjoying this episode so far. We just wanted to let you know that we're on social media at WeAreGCM. And don't hesitate to follow us. And if you'd like to support us further, we also have a Patreon page. Type in Global Changemakers and decide which tier is best for you. And now, on with the rest of the episode.
But actually, you know, for some people that want to adopt, I think single adoption is often not that encouraged. It's actually sometimes quite discouraged, to be honest, because it's quite a bit of commitment. So if a single person wants to adopt, yeah, it's not always, you know, preferred. And also young people are generally not, you know, they ideally hope, you know, if somebody wants to adopt, has to be ideally late 20s, early 30s. That's the minimum age. Mm. And also not too old. I mean, they generally wouldn't allow an adoption over 50, even though you're going to ask, have there been cases where this happened? And there's been one, which was actually from the former chancellor of Germany, who actually adopted a child from Russia when he was over 50.
Wow, okay. I didn't
know. And that's another challenge with adoption, that people that, you know, general parents that adopt get a bit upset. I'm upset that politicians or celebrities get preferred status in the adoption process. So you look at the like at Angelina Jones and the others, or if you're talking about Australia, there's, you know, like, I mean, there's the likes of Deborah Lee.
Yeah,
or Nicole Kidman or Deborah Lee Frumas and her husband, you know, Hugh Jackman. Even though they do some interesting work in actually New South Wales, they've got their own adoption, like, advocacy organization they call Adopt Change. So sometimes they set up initiative, but some people are quite critical of that because some people say that, you know, celebrities try to, you know, further their own interest always, you know, and that there's, you know, don't always take expert advice. So it's interesting to see that field. And I think though, I would say that, I mean, I've never met a celebrity, so I can't say, but it's that if a celebrity, you know, works with expert, I think they can be quite a force for good to, you know, open people's eyes, because a lot of people actually don't you know, common person doesn't really know much about adoption. I mean, if they don't know anyone.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I'm thinking, like, even from my experience, I remember being younger and because I, when I was younger, I'd never met anyone who was adopted. But one of the ways I was introduced to that concept was through, yeah, celebrities like Angelina Jolie, who had, you know, her family of like, of kids from different countries. And then same as Nicole Kidman and I think it was Tom Cruise. Yeah. And, you know, having all of their kids as well adopted.
Oh, I didn't even know that about Tom Cruise, but I did know about Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, because Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman were married at one point, and then they had adopted. Oh. I think it's two kids or something.
I know if, like, only of Nicole Kidman because of the movie Lion, which I think gives a very... I think actually talking on adoption, actually now another quick topic in the media, I think that's a very interesting representation of it. And I mean, some people have been critical of it, but I think it gives... In terms of people finding their birth family, I think it gives it a very interesting view. And I think having read the book, I mean, you know, it's not exactly a book, but I think it gives a fairly good overview and portraying of how people can feel about things. And I think, have you seen the movie Lion yourself?
Yeah. That was actually going to be one of my questions, Alex, because I wanted to ask
you
around. Yeah. Like, you know, what... Because, I mean, there's different stories, in the media and in entertainment around that experience of adoption. And, yeah, Lion is one of them. I saw on Netflix. I haven't had the chance to watch it yet, but I saw on Netflix the movie Three Identical Strangers and wanting to hopefully watch that later this week. I guess just now you were just saying it's good that experience is being showcased on a different medium. But maybe you could recommend to some of our listeners on some, ones that you thought was a good representation of your experience. I have seen Lion, loved it, cried it at the end. Like, that was a beautiful film. Maybe some others that you thought were quite good.
I have to say that's probably, like, the only one that I've really seen that's, like, in the media that I think was really good, because I actually haven't seen that many other movies where adoption gets that much depicted. So I think that was a really good one. And I think what I personally enjoyed about it was how, like, he reflects on things and how even certain things can trigger his memory. Like when he eats his food at his Indian food at a party, that was really interesting, because I had things like that when I was in Romania. When I went to certain places, I got certain triggers. But it was really interesting to relate to that and see the similarities.
Wow. Yeah. I can definitely imagine could evoke certain emotions. I did want to ask a little bit on, you know, your experience of finding your birth parents. I understand that you actually had that revealed live on television. Could you be able to share a little bit more on what that was like? Because that's like a very personal thing, and having that, you know, happen on like a level which is, you know, a little bit more than just like your immediate, you know, family.
Yeah, so the way that happened was in 2015, I was invited in Romania to speak on their politics, but then on the second day in the country on live TV, they surprised me with my birth family. And I think some highlights were that I was surprised. And then straight up, they asked my birth mom, why did you give up, Alex? And it was quite a shock. And then I guess some other highlights there were that they kept asking her, why did you give up, Alex? And they tried to manipulate. I felt at the time the show tried to manipulate things on, you know, why I was giving up. And then I just said to the TV host, it's enough now, and gave them all a quick history lesson on Romania, why there were some kids that had been adopted under the regime of Ceausescu, a dictatorship that went on for a couple of decades, till 1989, where the dictatorship was toppled on Christmas Day, finally. They had thousands of kids in orphanages because all forms of family planning was prohibited, and women were forced to have minimum 5 kids.
Wow. Okay. And so then, she was, and so that was like a different time.
So yes, exactly. So I basically said, look, you know, I said, if, you know, you guys might be upset that this happened, that somebody was given up for adoption, but I said that I'm really great and stuff, and for the life that I'm living in New Zealand, I probably wouldn't have had that if I wouldn't have been adopted at the time. So I'm grateful for that. And I said, if I can forgive my birth mom for what happened, you should try doing the same thing as a country, I said.
Wow. And yeah, no, that's really good that you were able to say that, like, even in that moment when it's so emotional, even for yourself, like, with, yeah, like, having that connection to your birth family and that happening, you know, on live TV.
I think I can't even describe the emotion to this day. I think the only emotion that I can describe was feeling of shock. And it's like one of those actually cringy, but, you know, like one of those war movies where time slows down and you kind of just operate out of your instinct or your subconscious level, because it definitely was a shock. And after the show, I actually did faint for a couple of minutes in the bathroom.
Yeah, would like, looking back at that whole experience, I don't know if this is an appropriate question to ask, but would you like it to happen in private instead of on TV?
I'd definitely like it to happen in private. And the way that I would be comfortable with on TV is like one of those TV shows, you know, where they do adoption research, is where they basically first meet in private and then they make it look like that you meet on TV, but you've met in private and then you meet somewhere publicly, let's say like a cafe, and that gets home, then it gets done in a more comfortable setting. And I think also, yeah, that the reason it was public, from my feeling, was the only reason actually why part of my birth family decided to meet me, because I basically found out that there were quite a lot of lies, and, you know, with my birth mom, that in the end, there's basically no relationship now, because there just wasn't that trust. And afterwards, I interviewed my birth mom and stepfather with different stuff about history, my law, my court files, because I'd memorized the majority of them. And she just, yeah, kept telling lies and different lies, that I ended up saying, look, to myself, there's no point for me to have a relationship if it isn't built on trust. And said, I'll leave it at that for now. And that's been the way, like that, now for 5 years. And I'm happy with the way it is, because There's just no point in having a relationship with no trust, and where boundaries kept being overstepped.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Completely. Like, that foundation of trust is so important in any relationship, whether that be in a parent-to-child relationship, friends, personal relationships as well. I think it's very admirable that you've identified that. And I imagine through the I'm Adopted initiative, you've been able to find or relate with your fellow adoptees on that experience as well. You had mentioned a little bit earlier, and this is going back to some of the very big topics, about that concept of identity and trying to reconcile with that. You know, having now, well, had the experience of being connected to both Romania, being connected to Germany, to New Zealand. What has that experience been like? And being able to, you know, have all these different experiences and then trying to understand where you identify and fit best, or maybe the word belong, like, what has that been like?
I think it's been a very interesting experience, and I think you become more aware of things the older you become, I found in my experience. And I think what I find is, and you might be able to relate to this, that with your different identities, your part, what is it again? Was it Serbian?
Yeah. So my dad is Serbian, my mom is Indonesian, and then born and raised in Australia, but now live in Singapore. So yeah, definitely. I was going to say, like, definitely resonate with, like, all of these different cultures and try to reconcile with all of that.
Yeah. So I think what I've, you know, kind of being like an identity chameleon, you know, so at times, you know, you can be that identity or that. And I think a concrete example of that is when in Romania, a couple of years ago, I was speaking at the parliament at like an award ceremony, and I was able to jump into my Romanian identity and draw onto Romanian history and really connect with people on a deeper level that I didn't realize was possible. And even drawing on my own geography, where I was born in Romania, and because Romania, probably similar to Serbia, people can be so very nationalistic.
Yes, definitely very nationalistic.
And which is, for us coming from, you know, like Australia or New Zealand, you know, even Germany was quite a bit, you know, different. But I think I ended up embracing what was right, or, you know, using it to communicate a point. And it really, you know, resonated with people on a deep level than any other, you know, making arguments, but just drawing on that idea of identity, the Romanian identity, which a core part is nationalism. I was, you know, referring to the history of Romania becoming like a united country and drawing on their king, how he stood up to fascism. So it was a very interesting speech that I did and related that back to adoption. I was walking, being blunt, on very thin ice because he'd actually died 2 weeks before I gave my speech there.
Wow. Just being able to speak in Parliament and then just after such a momentous occasion too.
Yeah, no, it was... I think, yeah, I would probably be more frightened now because in hindsight, I only realized what a thin line I was walking on there, you know, like talking about, you know, somebody that had died, you know, and relating it back to adoption and everything and then to the global issues and then to Romania. But I think what was really interesting is talking about identity, but I'm talking about things that were negative in a positive way. So I think that really, and actually being, you know, Romanian, I actually realized that I have the authority to talk about my identity in a way that, you know, I was comfortable with. I didn't say that I wasn't comfortable in saying that it was true. And I think that gave me the power to talk about things the way I did. And tapping into the identity and tapping into the shared experiences of people, especially older people that were able to relate to shared experiences that, you know, jumped across different generations.
Yeah. And having, I love that, you know, what you said earlier about like being an identity chameleon and, you know, changing into like the different, you know, identities that you have for where appropriate. And it's very cool that you were able to do that in Romania. I imagine you're also able to do the same in Germany and then also in New Zealand too.
Exactly. No, yes. And I think you were talking in terms of belonging. I think you realized that with age, you actually realize you can belong to, you know, more different people. I feel like I don't just belong to one, you know, even friends or a different social, you know, group. I realize, I can mix in with a lot of people easier than just one group, and that I find it sometimes easier to relate with certain people than others maybe that haven't had that different identity mix, you know, mishmash.
Yeah, definitely. Completely agree. It's like, just belonging to multiple places and feeling like they all kind of line up and build up together to form who you are and who you are individually as a person. So I really love that. In terms of, you know, like what's usually a common response that people say when they hear that you're adopted, and how do you feel, or how do you recommend that people respond or should know about adoption?
I think the common response that I always get from people, wow, that's so cool, people often say. And basically that's kind of the sentiment, and I personally fine with it, but some people are a bit more emotional about it. So I would recommend, if you're dealing with adopted people, to take more an over-cautious approach, because some people are very, very emotionally, because they're dealing with things in their own different ways. And I think another question that sometimes can get me annoyed is people constantly asking me, like, have you met your birth parents and what's that like?
And that being, again, like quite a personal question.
I think it's not a personal question. I think it's, for me at least, I think it's just sometimes so much, because it's kind of like my story. It's not like a simple, I met them, this, but it's like a big drama, and I've learned to condense it. But I think what gets me, I think sometimes people are more annoyed, this is when I do like a media interview, or even like last year for work, I did a speech back at my old university for an alumni engagement, or we did actually, I did for work a guest lecture there on sustainability, and they were going to put me in a magazine, and then they were going to try me ask that first parents question again. And I was like, I didn't end up answering, because I was like, no, I don't want to talk about that. I wanted to actually be more professional, not just this emotional stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you've done so much great work around the policy side of things and research on international adoption, and it, from your story, like, it just sounds like that speaks a lot more towards, who you are as a person and the work that you've done, rather than, that emotional side.
Yeah, because I didn't just want it to be always, about this, emotional stuff. I mean, that's, sure, it happened, but, like, I don't want it to be always a focus. Like, there's more to me than just that, you know. I wanted them to focus on my work that I'd done at the warehouse, which I did end up making it happen, but I was just like a bit, come on, people, can we talk about something else, not always that. I mean, it nearly happens in even any interview that I do, that people you know, constantly asked, you know, about it. And you actually, I really appreciate you asking if I was fine with things. And I really appreciate, you know, you just asking. Where a lot of other interviews that I've done, people just jump straight into it. Or even when I was in Romania, the funny questions people asked me were, I mean, they're very different than the media. That they asked me questions on life to be like, are you married yet? Like, wow. I was 20 at the time. And it's not too uncommon to be married that young in Romania. Mm. Like, or even like be asked on the spot, like, are you willing to have kids later on or adopt? And I have to take a couple of seconds to think and say, it's something that I'm considering for the future, but not right now. And I think also though, what I think has been interesting was that I'm adopted projects during lockdown. We did different life talks. And what I think we've been trying to help, you know, adoptees understand is how people think when they ask adoptees. And the personal view that I have is that actually the majority of people, they're not being mean or something. They're maybe a bit ignorant or not aware of the nuances for adoptees. And I would say that, you know, and I'm definitely not one of them, that some adoptees, they're just very emotional, you know. And I think it's also something that adoptees have to learn, not to take everything so personal, because I think, you know, you can't just cuddle everyone always up. Everyone, you know, people are going to ask you curious questions. And I think also, you know, educating the adopted people on how do you deal with those different kind of questions, because not everyone is so, you know, has different ways or levels of dealing with those different questions. Nice. And is confident, you know, I mean, some people are just not very confident to say, hey, I'm not comfortable to talk about it. And then people talk about it and then they feel resentful because they've been asked a question. But, you know, if you ask somebody a question and they answer you, you don't, you know, feel that they're upset about it. You're like, okay, that was interesting, you know. So I think something that we're also going to do more down the line is helping really some work with like most practical things, you know, like how to set healthy boundaries.
Yeah, definitely. And how to know like where people's boundaries are at that current point in time. So that's really
exactly important. And how to articulate that, because, you know, not everyone's got that level of self-awareness or empathy when dealing with another person. And if you're talking to someone that's adopted, you won't always know how they're feeling or, you know, be able to sense that.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess like kind of understanding there's different schools of thought even within that adoptee community.
Exactly.
I guess to kind of like an overall ending question, Alex, how would you like the topic of adoption to be perceived in the future?
I think I would like it to be perceived more in a positive light or as an opportunity than always the negative connotations that can come up with it. I think from that part, yes, but I'm talking about, I guess, the whole adoption topic in terms of policy, I think is that you know, adoption isn't a sweet, or, you know, it's just like celebrities adopting kids because they want to maybe look nice, but actually, no, it's actually for, you know, general parents that just want to help out a kid in a country where there's a need for adoption. And that it isn't just always viewed, oh, you know, it's like a bad thing. Because if it's done right, it can, you know, change somebody's life.
Yeah, I think that's a really beautiful way to end it on, Alex, and, you know, about how there is this need to change those perceptions. And I think today, like just even sharing your story, I know I've learned a lot, and I'm sure our listeners will learn a lot as well. If anyone wanted to get in touch with you, Alex, how could they be able to do that?
So they can get in touch through us and with me, or is on the I'm Adopted webpage. There is, if they go on it and I'm Adopted at all, they'll find the different links that to contact us there. It's imadopted.org.
Awesome. I'll make sure to put that into our show notes for today's app. Thank you so much, Alex, for sharing your story, and hope you have a great day.
Thank you. You too. And let's stay connected.
Let's see it. Let's stay connected. I'll see you then. Thanks.
See ya.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Remember that you can help us have a greater impact by sharing this and encouraging everybody on your social media to take a listen. If you want to reach out, remember that the contact of the co-host is down below in the show notes, or feel free to do it on social media at WeAreGCM. We will be very happy to talk to you and answer any of your questions. Also, remember to follow us and to subscribe to this podcast. See you in the next episode. Take care.